anybody else have one? Anna? 17. Number 17. Number 13. think we'll take one more song and then we'll say our verse. Jude? Number 11. This morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I would like all of us, children, to stand up and we're going to say our verse together. Does that work? So let's stand and we'll say our verse. It's Romans 6:23. And I'll start it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Good job. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll have a few words. Our loving God and Father, we do thank Thee for Thy love to us. We thank Thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, our blessed Savior. And we just thank Thee, our God, that we have opportunity again to speak to the little ones here. And we pray that there might be something for their hearts. And we pray for any who might be here who are not saved yet. And we pray that they would realize that they're sinners and that they need a Savior and that they would accept Thee, Lord Jesus, today as their own personal Savior. We pray for clearness of mind and that the thoughts expressed would be simple and understood. We ask for help. Commit this time into Thy care, asking it in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I mentioned I have a few things that I want to show you this morning. And I have a question for you children. Do any of you have a collection? Does anybody collect anything? Like to hear what you have.
I like to collect different kinds of stones, and I like to collect just things I find, like in yards and stuff.
Wonderful. You're just like my son Jude. He loves to collect rocks.
Glass bottles.
Wonderful. We have my wife's parents. They live out on a farm, and they have there's a lot of hills out there, and my kids, they go out and they dig in the hills, and there's one area that they found some nice treasures in those hills. And actually, they come across some old bottles. They're really neat. Anybody else want to share anything with us? This little man over here.
Crystals.
Crystals?
Help my brother.
Wonderful. It's a great collection. All right. Well, I would like to speak about valuables today. And there's a lot of things that we put value in this world. And it's interesting, you know, that God has a collection. And we'll speak about that in a little while here in a few minutes. But I have a few things here that a brother here had, he has built. And I want to thank the brother in advance. Brother Mark had asked me if there's a way I could incorporate this into my Sunday school and give these away. And sure enough, it fits right in with what I want to speak about. So we've got a few things here. Anybody know what this is? What is this? Sorry?
A chest.
A chest. What were you going to say about it?
A chest.
Yeah. A chest or a treasure box. And what do you keep in it? I think that's an obvious question, but what do you keep in a treasure box?
Special things.
Special things. Anybody else want to?
Jewels.
Jewels, yes. So you might say that what you keep in a treasure box are things of value, things that are precious. So I've got something here that might seem a little bit odd. Does anybody know what these are? You can touch them. Do you know what these are? Are they rocks?
Clams.
These are oysters. Pretty neat, hey? You want to feel those? Look at that. Yeah. It looks like a rock, doesn't it? Not that pretty. These are alive. These are live oysters. There you go, yeah. You can touch them. See that? Yeah, they feel exactly like a rock, and I bet you, and they come out of the ocean, and I would bet you that if you weren't really looking for one, and happened to stumble on one for some reason on the shore, which they normally wouldn't be there, I don't think. You probably just think it's a rock, because it looks exactly like one. It feels like one too, doesn't it? Interesting. So within this, there's a living thing. So these oysters are unique. You know why? Can anybody tell me why oysters are very unique? Jude? Not too sure. Anybody else? There's something that is kind of, it's rare. And that I would say they're hard to find. I think you know.
Pearls?
Pearls. Pearls. Are pearls valuable? Yeah. So this here is a string of real pearls. Now these are called freshwater pearls. I can't give these away. They don't belong to me. But these are fresh water pearls. And some of them have been dyed different kind of metallic colors, but they're real. Did you know that these pearls come out of what is called a mollusk, a mussel? They don't come out of an oyster like that. These are farmed. That means that they are They are made in a way. So the way a pearl is made is that there's something that gets into that shell. Usually it's a bit of sand, or it's a piece of organic matter like food. I don't know a whole lot about oysters. But so these pearls are a lot easier to get. But the rare ones are very valuable, and they come out of oysters like this in the ocean. And so something gets in there, and in order to protect itself, the oyster within the shell starts to coat that piece of matter with a secretion that turns into a beautiful pearl. And they're rare. And if you find one, whoever finds one is very fortunate, because they are rare and they're worth a lot of money. Now, I want to read a verse in connection with that. And this was mentioned yesterday in one of our reading meetings, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And we will read from verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Well, a brother had made a few boxes here, and I have to apologize in advance. I only have six of them. So I'm going to give these away, and I might ask you some questions, and if anybody can is brave enough to maybe answer a question, I'd happily give you a box. But I also have something for all of you kids today. So here we find something of value. We find a man that found treasure in a field, and also a merchant man who was looking for goodly pearls, and he found one. You know, again, I say these things are rare. And he went and he sold all that he had, and he bought it. Does anybody know who this might be speaking of?
Jesus.
Yes. The Lord Jesus. He's the one that was this merchant man. And you know, I suppose you might say a merchant man is one who could put a proper value on what he's looking for. He's looking for something of value. And you know, I guess what I want to get across to you kids today is that you are all valuable. That the Lord Jesus has put a value on each one of you individually, and you are all very unique. You know, a pearl, not one pearl is like the other. And its value is based upon its size and what it looks like. And it's kind of a picture of us, because the Lord Jesus, like this treasure, it's made up of many different treasures. And in this treasure box here, I have many different things that are not alike. And so God has put a value on each one of you, because you are very unique and God made you. But more than that, because he put such a high price tag on you, he went and he sold all that he had to buy you. You know where he did that? Was at the cross. The Lord Jesus went to the cross, and he was made sin for us. And he laid down his life that we might be saved. This suggests to me something of the heart of God. You know, the Bible tells us that God is love. God is love. You know, God in his love might bring before us the activity of his nature, that is, how he acts towards us. And can you imagine it? That the Lord Jesus would sell all that he had to come because he put a value on you and me, and he didn't want us to perish in our sins, and so he gave his life at the cross. And his precious blood can wash us from all our sins if we place our trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus. He found this treasure hid in a field. I was thinking a little bit how this oyster, it's pretty ugly, you know. Doesn't look very nice, does it? But God, I would say that a lot of people today who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ thinks that the world looks pretty good. It's pretty attractive. But you know, if we look at the world through God's eyes, it's pretty defiling. You know, it doesn't look very nice. It's full of sin and corruption and violence. But within it, there's treasure. And you know, God, what he's looking to do, and he is doing today, is that he is pulling out from the world, this ugly world, treasures for his collection. I mentioned earlier that God has a collection. He has a collection. And so, perhaps if I opened up this oyster, there might be a beautiful pearl within it. Now, supposing that I open this up, do you think I would just close it back up and leave the pearl in there and just throw it into the ocean and forget about it? No, I would take that pearl out, I'd clean it up a little bit, and I would put it in my treasure box. That's what God wants to do with you, because you're valuable. So don't be deceived by the world, because you know what? The world is not a very nice place. And God wants to save you. If you're not saved here this morning, and he wants to clean you up. He wants to wash you in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, which cleanses us from all sin. And he wants to add you to his collection. So you might say that God is seeking you. We have a man who is looking for something in both instances in this chapter. And God is seeking sinners today to add to his collection. The Lord Jesus said that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you know him as your Savior? And if you don't, I would encourage you to come to him. He knows your thoughts and he knows your heart and he knows all about you. And he wants to save you this morning. Put your faith and trust in him, and he will save you. Easy as that. Well, I'd like to look at another portion in 1 Peter. First Peter, chapter 2, and end of verse 3. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. I said God has a collection, and his collection is made up of living stones. I believe you have a stone collection, right? Yeah. And my son, Jude, he has one too. I think Jack had one for a while. And they would go about, and if they saw a stone that would catch their eye, they would gather that stone up, put it in their collection, and keep it. So in this little treasure box here, I have what are called semi-precious stones. These are all real stones, and with the exception of maybe a couple in here that have had some color dyed into them, they're all real. And these are all special stones. Different colors, different shapes, different sizes. And you know what? After the meeting, each one of you can come up and grab one, if it's okay with your mom and dad. And you can keep one and add it to your treasure, if you have one. So God has a treasure box. And he is adding living stones to it. We had in our meeting yesterday, the house of God. God is building something in this world. Matthew 16 tells us that upon Peter's confession that Jesus is the Son of the living God, he was going to build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So God is building a house. And within that house, he is inserting special, unique stones. But it's not a building like this. It's a building made up of people. It's his church. Here we have the Lord Jesus spoken of as a living stone as well. I wonder if you have built your life upon the rock. You know, sometimes we sing, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We sing that, don't we? What that means is that if your life and your faith is not put within the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you know, we've all been to the beach, and you know what happens when a wave comes up, and if you've built a sandcastle, that castle comes tumbling down. Because it's not built on solid ground. The foundation is wiped away. It doesn't last. You know, there's a verse in the 28th Psalm. I'm going to read it here. I believe it's Psalm 28. And it says this. Unto thee, verse 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. And that's what the Lord Jesus wants you to do this morning too, is he wants you to cry out to him and ask him to save you, if you're not his already. It's only unto him, because there's no one else and nothing else that can save us. Our parents can't do it. You're good. If you're just trying to be good, that's not good enough. It's faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. That famous verse, we all know it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's promise to you. So in 1 Peter 2, we have the Lord as being the living stone, and he is precious. He is precious. It says here, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. So God, we read in Matthew 13, about the Lord Jesus in picture, placing a value on you. And now I want to ask you, Have you placed a value on Christ? What does he mean to you? Is he your Savior? Have you placed your faith and trust in him? And if so, you become part of his collection, part of this treasure of living stones. And you might say, it reminds me of what someone had said once, that a seeking sinner will always find a seeking Savior. You know, there's a verse that tells us to seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Are you seeking the Lord today? I hope you are if you're not saved, because the Lord is seeking you. And he's placed a value on you, and he wants to save you. He gave his life for you, and you are precious to him. And those who form part of his treasure box, those who are part of his house, you are incredibly precious to the Lord. I want you to know that. And it just thrills my heart to think that I belong to him, that you can belong to him too, part of this wonderful collection that he is making in this world today. My son, 1 week ago today, he asked me a very good question. He said, "Dad, what is the most valuable thing in the world?" I was in the kitchen making breakfast, and he just came into the kitchen and asked me this, and I thought, wow, that's random, but a very good question. I want to ask you children today, what is the most valuable thing in the world? Does anybody? I said I would be giving out some of these boxes, so I better get to it.
I think that people are the most valuable thing in the world because God says that he cares even about the sparrows, and if he cares about the sparrows, then why would he not care about us?
Exactly. That's a very, very good answer. Thank you. You can have a little treasure box. Anybody else?
Well, he's not really in this world. I think, to me, Jesus is one of the most valuable things.
I would agree, because we just read that unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. There you go. Anybody else?
I think Jesus is the most valuable thing in the world, because he died for us.
Very good. Yes. Yes, he definitely is a precious person, if we believe on him. You know, the world did not value the Lord Jesus. The stone, the Lord Jesus, the living stone, was disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious.
The Bible?
The Bible, God's word, yes, very precious.
Did you have one?
Us getting saved.
Yes, those are all very valuable things. Let me just get these. Grab these here. There you go. Okay. I'll get one over here. This little guy.
I think it is people.
Good answers. I'm sorry, kids, I don't have enough of these to go around, but you can all have one of these stones. Well, those are all good answers. And my immediate answer to my son was his soul. So whether you're saved or you're not saved, we all possess something that is of infinite value that we cannot put a price tag on. You cannot put a price tag on it. There's some pretty valuable things in this world beyond which I can afford and many people in this world can afford. Millions, billions of dollars. Pretty expensive. But guess what? Nothing in this world will last. It's all going to perish. And it's worthless. But the one thing that each one of us possesses is a soul, which will live on beyond this life. Let's read a verse in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 35, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You might have everything this world can give you, and guess what? If you die without Christ, you have nothing. The Bible tells us that we came into the world with nothing, and it is certain that we will leave with nothing. But what I'm here to tell you today is that if you place your trust in the Lord Jesus, you get everything. You get eternal life. You get blessings, heavenly blessings that this world cannot offer you that will never be taken away. You receive an inheritance in heaven with Christ that will be yours forever. And actually, you know what? Everything around you that you see, every created thing, we will inherit with Christ. He gives us everything. So what can we give in exchange for our soul? Nothing in this world lasts. Nothing is worthy enough to make that trade, because if we die, we'll lose it all. The most valuable person is the Lord Jesus. The most valuable thing you possess is your soul. And God wants to save your soul today. Now I have a, before we close here, I'm running out of time. I want to read a quick verse here in Malachi chapter 3 and make a little application. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 17, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels." I know this has reference to Israel in a future day, but I think as we as Christians can make application to ourselves that we are His special treasure. The church is a picture, or is pictured in that pearl. And it means, it signifies the preciousness of the church to the heart of Christ. And God is coming. He's going to gather us up unto Himself. The Lord Jesus is coming back. It might be today. And He's going to gather all His jewels, all His special treasure, and take it home with Himself. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing, isn't it? And you know what? More than that, while we're here, if we have one quick minute, in Revelation chapter 21, I believe. Revelation chapter 21, verse 11, well, verse 10, end of verse 10. The holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. A little boy, I think, said that he had a collection of crystals, clear as crystal. And in verse 18, it says, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl." Well, this is a picture of the church in a coming day in her glory. And I noticed that in the new translation, a different translation, it says that her shining was like unto the glory of God. And you know what? What God is doing with us today, you see this stone? It didn't come out of the earth like this. It's all round, smooth, shiny. And God has, and men have put it through a process that has gotten it to this stage of beauty. Did you know that when your sins are washed away, you're sealed with the Spirit of God, and God now can use you? But what He's doing with us today is that He's knocking off all the inconsistencies and the jagged edges and all the rough marks, just like this stone when it came out of the earth. It didn't come out like this. And He is making us more like His beloved Son. And He's passing us through things that might be hard at times, but He is forming the character of His Son in us so that we might be a light for Christ in this world, that we might represent Him in this life. And in a coming day, we're going to reflect His glory. These stones. And we can do that now, but not like then. We're going to reflect Him in a perfect way in a coming day. It's hard to take it in, to think where we've come from and where He's taking us and what He's making us into. But you know, I had a marble collection when I was a young boy. And what I would do with those marbles is I would take them and I would look up to the light, and I would gaze into that glass orb, and I would notice all of its beauty within in a way that I could never have seen it without putting it to the light. And you know what? We're going to shine the glories of Christ as believers in the coming day. You and I don't have any light in ourselves. None at all. But God, with what He's doing with us as Christians, is forming us and making us more like His Son. And in a coming day, in a perfect way, we're going to reflect His glory, reflect all His light, and the world will look on and see what He's done. God's special treasure, the church. Well, I would ask you again, kids, do you want to be part of that? Do you want to be a part of that treasure that God is collecting today? Place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for Thy grace and Thy goodness and what Thou art doing. And we just pray for blessing on the hearts of these young ones here today. that they might be saved and walk for thy glory in this earth. And we ask it all in thy worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, kids.